Rockstar Podcast, episode 155. We take on a TED Talk that Mariano sent us from a podcast that we rage about, and we talk about Facebook finding too much of your information. It's also known as the new toaster oven episode. Coming out Monday or Tuesday. Thanks. Bye. Hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 155. I have toaster issues. I'm a little bit of pain from the soccer game, and I'm having some oatmeal. How are you doing out there? Great. Okay, Aggie, how are you?
Apparently not as good as you.
Okay.
Yes.
Mariano?
I am fantastic. I'm feeling very stressed for you. I feel very bad for you, and I can't wait to hear what this toaster story is.
Let me acknowledge, Mariano last week asked me how I was doing at the beginning of the podcast, and I blew right past it and didn't answer him. So thank you, Mariana. I don't have to thank Aggie because she asks me every week.
But I ask you much more frequently than you think.
But Aggie asks me like the Irish welcome. Like it's part of her hello. It's part of herself. She's like, how you doing, Lorenzo? Okay, so blah, 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 blah. Mariano last week, to his credit, because I'm not taking Aggie's credit, but like I beat him up a little bit, but he genuinely asked and I totally blew him off on the answer.
So that's why I don't like that.
So if you remember, there's a couple episodes ago where my mother put Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the bottom of Cheerios inside the Cheerios box because she wanted to give it to my daughter because I told her not to give my daughter Cinnamon Toast Crunch at 3 years old in the morning with all the other sugar she gave her. Oh, for the past year and a half, my mother's like, you should get a toaster. I don't want a toaster. I'm trying to understand why I would need a toaster. I can understand why she needs a toaster. I use a microwave. She does not use a microwave. She does not have a microwave. So, ironically, a couple months ago for my father's birthday, my mother hands me a magazine from Bed Bath & Beyond that says a picture of a toaster, circles it, and writes nonno on it, meaning grandfather in Italian, for my father. Now, she's done this before. It's playful in terms of I know what she's doing. She really means it's for the house, but he doesn't want anything to the point of where he calls me for weeks before his birthday, yelling at me to say, don't buy me anything. I don't want anything. Meanwhile, he buys everything on infomercials left and right. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a whole other side note of chaos. Okay. I buy the toaster. We give it to him for his birthday. Last week, the toaster arrives at my house. Unboxed, on my counter, with my entire counter shifted around where my traditional... Now, when I say toaster, I should say toaster oven.
Okay, because this is very different.
I just realized what I'm saying, because my mother called it the toaster. Anyway, so toaster oven. I have a traditional toaster.
Right.
This is a toaster oven. I don't need it because we don't heat up food in it. It's good for a slice of pizza. I have never been known to just heat up one slice of pizza. So I use the oven or the frying pan. So she says, I know you said you don't want blah, 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 blah. And I'm like thinking to myself, okay, so here are the levels. Did she genuinely say that she wants to give us the toaster? Or did she actually tell my wife, circle the toaster, say for us to buy it for my father so that she could then bring it to my house and put it on my counter and move my blender, my everything all around on my countertops? It drove me to drink. And then here's the best kicker. She says, well, if you don't want it, I'll bring it back and forth every week.
Oh, my goodness.
And God. I have to just say.
She doesn't need a toaster at her house, clearly. She has one.
Italian nonnas are the best at this kind of stuff.
There is the Ray Romano episode where his mother, where Deborah's mother tells Deborah, you can finally cook the gravy or the sauce, if you layman's people want to call it that. And she gives her the recipe, but over the, she gives her the spice, which might have been cinnamon or chives or whatever it was, and puts the word, puts the oregano label over it so that Deborah would intentionally screw up the recipe.
I don't remember that episode.
Yes. No, that's a class. When you have my mother, you see, it's not every Italian mother. When you have my mother, that episode sticks out like a sore thumb. Like, this is therapy. How you doing, Aggie?
I'm doing great. So, question for you. Yeah. Is Cinnamon Toast Crunch at all involved with this? Or
no,
it's just like an evolution of the
word toast.
I'm trying to find out what the third one is going to be, have to do with toast.
Yes, it's got to be three.
Other than I'm going to tell my mother, you're fired, you're toast.
Yep.
That's it.
Which you will not do. That will not happen.
No.
I have.
It'll happen. It doesn't work. She shows up the next week.
No way.
She's still there.
No way. That's impressive. So wait, is it still on your counter?
No. I got home the other day, and I put the toaster oven in her car, in the box, in the trunk of her car.
Get out.
Wow. Yeah. That's some, you know.
Yeah.
That's some passive aggressiveness. And then I ran. So then, yeah, I was going to say. So when she discovers this, what do you think?
No, she knows. I did it in front of her. I told her I was doing it. Mm-hmm. But I know what the game plan is. Like, am I going to see the toaster next week?
100%.
Is the toaster just staying in the trunk of the car?
She's going to cart it back and forth.
And here's the thing. She doesn't like to use the toaster oven. So stupid. The toaster oven, because she doesn't understand microwaves. She comes from old school radiation, like that logic.
My family is the same.
Right. And that's fine. So she heats up hot plates in the toaster oven or in the toaster. If both my wife and I have said, if she just wanted the toaster oven at our house, just ask.
Yeah.
And if she would have said, you know, I really like to use, she cooks for us twice a week when she's there. I really like to use it, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I can make that accommodation. To go through this Batman and Joker nonsense is absurd. To circle it in the magazine and then to have me buy it.
Without you knowing.
But it's not good enough in an Italian family for you to... for
speak truth?
No. It's not good enough for you for her to say, I want something, you get it, etc. You have to agree with her. And this is the crux of it.
And when I agree,
family.
Let's keep in mind, I have my bedroom door with a lock on it because my mother will not stay out of the bedroom when we're not there. Okay? Nobody does that.
My God, you really are. It really is
you
like,
have no
like
idea.
Everybody
when,
loves Raymond.
Everybody Loves Raymond is a joke compared to this. The nonsense that I deal with at my house. Thank God my mother never listens to this podcast, and nor will I ever put these clips as the teaser. Speaking of podcasts, Aggie went into like neuroshock or something like that for a podcast episode. And I don't know why. I mean, I know that it was an interesting episode. Mariano presented it to us.
So tell us a little bit about this.
So one of the things that I do on my walks, which we've talked about before, is I like to listen to different kinds of podcasts. And one of the podcasts that I listen to is the TED Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. And in this particular podcast, it was all about digital manipulation. So there are five stories all centered around different aspects of digital manipulation. And I shared it with my co-hosts because I thought it was really an interesting story for us to all talk about, since we're all in marketing. We all talk about small businesses and what our perspectives on some of these topics were. So,
and it was five topics, you said, right?
There were five topics total. I don't know we're going to get through all five today because there is a lot to unpack for each of these. Mm-hmm. I would say Aggie's first response was very visceral, I would say, and I'm assuming it was the first story that you were responding to.
Yes.
So I'll segue into the first story.
Let me just say that I'm going to be on the podcast here, like the guys eating the popcorn, watching the shit go down. I'm having oatmeal, so
right.
Go.
So the first story was... talked a little bit about Brexit. The main question that it was asking is, why did it happen? Why did almost nobody predict it? And the speaker was Carol, I'm going to screw up her last name, Cudwaller, I think is her last name.
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
She talked about how leading up to the Brexit referendum, there were a lot of polls that indicated that it wasn't going to pass, and so on and so forth. And then, lo and behold, the next morning, the morning after, it did pass, and nobody saw it coming. She goes into a town called Ebbavale, and she gets into a little bit more detail. But I'm curious. I'm going to leave it at that introduction, and I'd like to go into what Aggie thought about it.
Okay.
Because she's been sitting on this for a couple of days now, and we couldn't even talk about it before
the podcast.
Shut up, Mariano.
Go, Aggie.
Okay. So, everyone listening, you should listen to this podcast, and maybe you can link to it in the description. However, we'll get there.
I will.
Thanks. I was listening to it I started it in the morning, pre-coffee, mistake number one. So I am waking up with my coffee in hand, commuting to work as I'm listening to this story unfold about, you know, she does talk about Brexit, but mm-hmm. she also talks about the presidential election mm-hmm. and how there are some similarities regarding how people are influenced And she discusses a lot about how the influence was largely on Facebook and gets into Facebook data, how people are targeted, and how basically the biggest people in Silicon Valley need to be held accountable, right? And as I am driving, my heart rate is going up and up and up because I'm getting more and more stressed about this world that we live in. And I feel conflicted because I understand her point of view, and I feel largely upset by a lot of what she is saying. And I do, in one hand, agree. And then the other hand, she's kind of yelling at these people in Silicon Valley and telling them, you know, you are using almost your brilliance for evil, is really the way that I took it as. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so unfair to these people who have maybe, you know, even just Mark, he created something and it's turned into a beast, right? And he has all these people that work for him, and I started to feel for those people, and there were just so many emotions that I wound up actually shutting it off and taking a break, and I had to take a magnesium, which, by the way, magnesium is totally legal, and you can get it at your local vitamin shop.
Provided for all snowflakes across the board. And who can't build stuff?
Hey, it helps with anxiety because I felt just so conflicted as somebody who works in marketing, as somebody who has really, my career started within digital marketing, understanding the volume of how intense this can get, coupled with the fact that I also feel a lot of intensity around what happened with Brexit as well as the, you know, election. I couldn't deal. So I took a second, I took a break, and then I listened to the rest of the podcast, which I found to be enjoyable. It's just that it made me feel lots of feelings all at once.
You Brexited from the podcast for a little while.
I did. I needed to think about it. And honestly, I think this is one of those podcasts, and I do this, maybe I'm weird. It's one of those podcasts I'd like to come back to and listen to again, now that I know what I'm in for.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't quite sure what was happening. And, you know, what is her name again, the main person that they highlight?
Carol Codwaller.
Carol is a beautiful speaker. And when they cut to pieces of her talks that she gives, and she's so powerful that part of it was I was listening to her and feeling all these emotions. So now that I know that that's the case, I'd like to listen to it again.
I think you should watch it and see if you get a different perspective.
It's possible that I will. Also, not commuting with coffee in hand and just, you know, caffeinating myself
and
waking up.
No, you should caffeinate yourself when you do it.
Maybe. But I felt just very conflicted the entire time.
And you know, the interesting thing is I to a certain extent, I agree with you for many of the reasons that you just explained. You know, I work with digital marketing. You know, and part of digital marketing and just the fact that just the way digital marketing is, it's a little bit of manipulation. You want people to understand why they need what you're selling. Now there's you know, ethical digital marketing, and there's because you're really honestly trying to help people understand something that they may not even know they need. And there's unethical digital marketing, you know, trying to bring somebody to a point of view because you're tapping into a fear. And, you know, and I think that in this case, especially in the story of Brexit, she talked about this town called Ebbw Vale, which is this rural town, voted in favor of leaving the EU, and everybody that she talked to, she specifically called out a steel plant blue collar person that she talked to, and they complained about the EU not doing anything for them, and they were worried about refugees and so on. And meanwhile, in this town, there's this huge steel mill that employed tons of people, and it was paid for by the EU. So, you know, but they, you know, after a little bit of investigation, they discovered that it was because they saw these Facebook ads that incited this fear, that incited this kind of nationalism that they have there. And she, you know, the conflict comes in because she's calling out companies like Facebook and Google for serving these ads, not providing the data about who sees these ads and how it manipulates their feelings, and then not taking ownership over it.
So I had
a lot of feelings around this too, and to a certain extent we control our own behavior. But there is something to be said about what we're able to see on these social networks and how they make us feel.
This is actually a really good point because recently Instagram just passed a new policy. Are you aware of this? Where they basically have restricted the age that people can see weight loss advertisements on Instagram.
No, I did not know that.
Yes.
Which is the light, getting rid of the likes, which is still being tested in several countries, but continue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel, which, by the way, I think is wonderful that they are doing that. I'd like to just get rid of them completely. However, especially at a certain age range, if you are under 18, you shouldn't be seeing certain types of content.
What is it again? The weight loss?
Weight loss or something having to do with weight-specific advertisements. Mm-hmm. You can't see it unless you're 18 or over.
I was all in with Aggie. So I guess I'm going to argue with her.
Well, but here's the thing.
I know.
I think that, you know, as someone who's suffered from disordered eating as a young person, I think that it is a serious thing. And you can be influenced, and there is manipulation. So it does kind of tie back to exactly what we are talking about, mm-hmm. which is how, as humans... Are we manipulatable? Mm-hmm. And how do we make sure that you hold yourself accountable and not read too much into it, mm-hmm. right? And I do think age is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Should someone that's 14 see an ad about weight loss? No.
Right.
Right? But similarly, here's what we're dealing with. Should someone see ads that are manipulating them to believe horrible things?
And honestly, this is a real... relatively new world. I mean, we know what it was like with ads before. I mean, what we would see were more contextual ads, and they actually talk a little bit about contextual mm-hmm. ads later on in the podcast. But we would see contextual ads. We'd pick up a paper.
Sure.
Maybe it was left-leaning or right-leaning. Mm-hmm. And the advertisements in that paper would mm-hmm. cater to that audience.
Yes.
You know, because they could make assumptions about that audience because they picked up that paper. Mm-hmm. But now these ads are highly targeted because Facebook knows everything about
right.
you. You know, Twitter maybe not as much, mm-hmm. but they can...
Facebook, you tell Facebook everything about you.
Yes,
Facebook
I agree.
Facebook doesn't know everything about you.
Facebook knows everything about you because we've been lulled into the security. Because...
No, I'm not giving the human being the excuses. I sit quiet, but go ahead, continue.
No, I agree with you, but if you remember, you know, in the beginning, Facebook didn't have this kind of... ad revenue necessity.
Right.
The evolution of these social media networks is first we're going to provide a service so that people feel comfortable with us, and then we're going to start using that platform to create targeted ads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like one of those things that it happens so gradually over time, we're not really even aware of it until it's a problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's becoming a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now people it's kind of spotlighted this thing,
yeah.
and Facebook. And to be honest, you know, I keep bringing up Facebook because they are the largest social network.
Yes.
But they are also the one that has done the most of this kind of scientific analysis of mm-hmm. how people respond to these ads.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to be the ones held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be the example that is set for other social mm-hmm. networks moving forward. So go ahead, Lorenzo. I can tell that you're... Absorbing thinking. And
this is why I argue with liberals as much as I argue with conservatives. I agree with you in the sense of, you know, the lady's name.
Carol.
I listened to that, and I listened to the second one. Jinx, Carol. and she said a lot of things that I'm used to hearing from the liberal propaganda machine. And then she said something that said, we have to take control.
Yes,
and I said,
I agree.
We have control. Stop blaming the monster. You are a vegetarian. You have made that
vegan.
Choice.
Vegan.
You are a vegan. You are a vegan. You have made that choice. Stick with it. God bless you for it. And I'm like, am I like quarter vegetarian now? I've stuck to half vegetarian.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, of course, I'm not like looking at this as a completely black and white issue where it's, Facebook is absolved of everything, and you are to blame for everything.
No.
Within reason. However, boy, I mean, how many times do you have to see, let's use an example of with the, when Trump won the presidency and the attendance came up, right?
Right.
You can either look at the crowd and use your brain, or you can get mind warped into Facebook and Sean Spicer, who's dancing all over stars now. There's a point where, yes, but I think we always talk about making society softer, and part of it is because we do too much pointing the finger. Get off of Facebook, leave it, you'll be fine.
Yes, and
I know that's and I know that's just like an easy answer to say, as much as the other side can have the easy answer to say it's Facebook. Where it gets dicey is you get a Cambridge Analytica who gets in the middle.
Exactly.
Of this, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I look at things like I say, okay, whether you're for or against guns, nobody, well, not nobody, but most people are saying, it's not that we're you want to take guns away, but why are we creating the gun that with the bullet that does, like, it's almost sometimes the side things, right? It's not so much the main piece. It's more things that people jump on. They're the funeral car chasers. Oh, mm-hmm. I can add to this. Oh, I can add to this. Cambridge Analytica came in, took data, basically, that was provided by humans to Facebook and manipulated it within the rules. Mm-hmm. The lady who did the podcast was upset that she didn't like that Facebook response was, we'll take care of things next time around. She wanted blood now. Okay, you could say that, and we need people who want both sides of the argument to be an extremist to me. But Facebook's in this for business. They're making for money, the advertisement, all this stuff. We've all gotten it. I listen to WFAN Sports. Do you know how many ED commercials I hear all day and Viagra commercials all day? I don't know. Like, there's a point where sometimes it's just up to the person to figure it out.
Well, I agree with you to a certain extent that it's up to the person to figure it out. But people don't know, like, the Cambridge Analytica thing. Now that's all over the news. You know, that's
well,
they elicit what?
It's a little bit dated. I mean, this came
it's
out,
a right? little bit dated. But what I'm saying is that they illicitly harvested 87 million profiles from Facebook and created politically motivated ads to target those people. Mm-hmm. Those people didn't know they were being targeted. And I understand your point that to a certain extent, you know, now it's we know that. But this is, you're speaking with hindsight. You know, we're not looking at it from when it's happening in the here and now. Cambridge Analytica.
So we go see it because I have trouble saying it.
Yeah, I know. Cambridge Analytica was manipulating this at a, to a certain extent.
But they're not Facebook. Facebook has the data, right? I know the data about a lot of different things. I know that, if I can get weird, but I don't mean to be weird, if I know Mariano's married, right? So if I know you're married and I may not come at you if I'm a female and hit on you, I know data. I may still choose to do it, right?
Right.
So if I see an ad that says a caravan of murderers and rapists are coming into through the border, through Texas, I can believe that or I can look visually at the attendance, at the inauguration, at the caravan of people who are women and children, and I can make a educated, on very little effort, I'm saying that this type of stuff, if nothing else, what Facebook does is it makes us lazy. Because, oh, okay, I got this in my feed, this is what I accept. And then they get mad because if you listen to Fox, you're a jerk. If you listen to MSNBC, you're a jerk. No matter what, all this comes down to, it seems like, is I'm interested in proving that I'm right in what I believe. Here's the justification, and I want to change your mind. Meanwhile, I've never tried to change anybody's mind when it comes to, since it's Cambridge Analytica, is politics and of that nation, that notion. There are people who see articles from The Onion and think it's real.
Well, true. There's certain education levels, and I think that we have to be, we are privileged in that we work in this space and understand targeting and how data can be spliced together in a way that I would say the vast majority of the world doesn't necessarily understand. So, given that, the point that Carol makes is that we need to let people know this is happening. And overall, with this entire podcast series, because there's a few different chapters, we need to alert people of this so they are educated. And then, per your point, whoa, I just almost knocked your glasses off the table because I'm getting so passionate.
Warby Parker, $99 easy refill.
Per your point, once then we have let people be educated, which we need that information to say, hey, this happened.
Right.
Then it's up to them to figure out how manipulated they are going to allow themselves to be.
Sure.
Right. But I do agree with, I guess, Carol, in the sense that it does need to be unearthed and explained and widespread. And in that capacity, the head honchos of Silicon Valley and Cambridge Analytica, they need to be held accountable hey, this happened. Was it meant to be? Probably not.
Right.
But it needs to be articulated.
The reporting that she did is 100% I'm all in on. And I understand this is where I get the agenda driven. Like she wasn't doing the news, but she's doing TED, right? And TED has an agenda. Everybody does. Yes. It's not I don't mean it in a bad way. But for her to then go in, I would have rather seen her explain what Cambridge Analytica did thoroughly.
I don't know if she could.
She might not have the data to be able to do that.
Also from a legal standpoint, it sounds like perhaps she couldn't.
Well, that's correct. She said we were going to get sued, but we reported the story anyway.
Well, yes, you're going to get sued and then explain all of the information you have are two different things.
No, but she can explain it without giving the data per se, but explain basically in essence what happened. My point was is that she did that and then it was, and Facebook and they're evil and they're evil. And I'm like.
I think in some ways she's doing almost the same thing. She can manipulate people into believing things without the data.
Right.
But she's also getting an audience that she
is fired up.
But yeah. I think what we need to look at her talk as is a cautionary tale.
Nice.
More of a, because you know the fact of the matter is this happened, and the job of reporters are to tell us exactly what happened, why it happened, and how we can prevent it from happening in the future.
Sure.
I don't think that part is correct. I don't think the prevention part is correct. I think the prevention part is exactly why we have this problem. Across the board. Everybody says this. I get it. And then they say, if we did this, or that's not the Walter Cronkite role. That is editorial. That's opinion shows. I am all in on that. Mm-hmm. But when I see the news, report me the news, I'll decide what I need
that's
to do.
That's the point, mm-hmm. is that humanity needs to make the decision
to
make it preventable. Yeah.
And like, I love Anderson Cooper. He's as straightforward to me a reporter as there is. He does his ridiculous at the end. But anything else, like you can watch Cuomo or Don Lemon or sure. Fox, or they're all opinion-based. And that's fine that they do that. They have a show, and I'm happy to. But, you know, they're opinion-based. The problem is that my mom brought the toaster oven over. I'm going to bring a little levity to this. I have no problems with what she did, but I lose the journalism integrity part of it when it's blame Facebook and blame all the other stuff. And when she said we have to take control,
right,
it completely takes you off the hook and it drives me insane. You have control.
Maybe
Facebook needs to be reported, like you said, Aggie.
Maybe that's where I got my anxiety levels, because I understand where you're coming from on both sides. And I think, you know, we just as humans need to each individually be better about understanding and analyzing this data. But I think that the point that we need to make abundantly clear is twofold. One, it depends on what level of education people have in this space, right? So we are privileged mm-hmm. in that we understand it pretty well, right?
Experience.
So we're able experience and yep. education, but the experience leads to education. I mean that you are educated
well,
in
let
this
me push
space
back
because
on
of
that.
Your experience.
Do you think that, see, it might be actually a curse that we know this much information, right? Because we're in this world.
Sure.
But don't you think that's, I don't know, are we giving someone who doesn't know marketing the way we do a pass to say, this is why this happened, because you don't know that?
No, okay. I think it's more per your point saying reporting it. It needs to be reported so everyone can make their own conclusion. Mm-hmm. This is happening, just so you know, this happened. And, you know, unbiased. And by the way, this is what happens to the data that you put out into the world, right? But I think also, kind of speaking out of the other side of my mouth, per your point, this podcast largely talks and highlights Carol, who's great, and I side with a lot of things that she says during a TED Talk. And that is a different type of audience mm-hmm. than, you know, merely just reporting what's going on. They're passionate. They're on fire. She's trying to get everyone together and elicit a reaction. And I think that the coverage from this podcast was biased in that capacity.
Well, and she, to be fair, she's a reporter at The Guardian, and I didn't read what her article was.
That's what I want to see. I want to see her article.
So we need to go do that.
Yeah, that'll be the next
one. Mary, I don't get on that.
That's our homework. That is our homework.
Sam Howitt, please get us the article, SPH on Twitter. Thank you.
Nice call out.
Yeah.
So I think it was...
You have to leave?
I know. Are you going to say something that's going to make me want to say?
I was just going to talk about women's rights with voting and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
I know. Okay. This is what you're going
to
do.
So, I mean, women with voting. What's up with that?
Dear Lord. What am I going to do with you two?
It's only me right now.
It's only... Don't worry.
Okay. So why don't we do this? So the next episode... we did 30 minutes. We have the Kaylee the robot.
Oh my God, that one was really Kayla the robot.
Okay, so here's the job: Aggie's going to find the article.
Yes.
Mariano's going to tweet the podcast that we're talking about.
Right now.
And next week, I'm just going to show up and talk about it.
Okay.
I love that you just took all that work off of yourself. We do have a guest.
Yeah, we do have a guest. And oh, by the way, I do a shitload of work, which is why I'm giving you those two things.
It's true. Actually, Lorenzo is the reason that this thing is out into the world. So thank you, Lorenzo.
I'm also the reason why it's successful.
Yes, you are.
Not really. Okay, so yeah, we do have a guest, but yep. We're going to talk about a robot that has
is connected to the internet.
This will be part two of this one.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Some creepy guy around the corner could talk to your kid while she's sleeping, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, that's really
all right,
cool.
On that note, happy holidays, even though we don't have any coming up. And I'm apparently dressing up as Burger King for Halloween. So show up at my house on Halloween. Episode 155 is in the can. Bye.